He was really sad a couple weeks ago. We were talking about this, and he said in 30 years of ministry, he's never missed an Easter Sunday. And we said, well, in 30 years of ministry, you've never had open-heart surgery. And he said, true to that. And so he's doing much better this morning. I talked with him yesterday, and his energy level is coming up. Continue to pray for him in that. But we thought that it was still important that you hear from him. So if you would turn your directions to the screen, and we're going to hear a word from Pastor Terry this morning.
Hey everybody, happy Easter. Man, even though I can't be with you, like sitting right next to you right now, Ryan and I got together and I wanted to at least give you a part of an Easter message. Man, listen, Easter is my favorite Sunday every single year. And it's that way for a couple of reasons. One, I mean, because, you know, some of you I won't see again till next Easter, but it's okay. I mean, we're thankful to have you here at Easter today. So thank you so much for being here. And second, because we get to talk about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, which is nothing more important than all scripture than that. And third, not only are we talking about it, but all of our brothers and sisters around the world are talking about the resurrection of Jesus Christ today. And isn't that phenomenal? We join together with the universal church declaring the greatness of Jesus through his resurrection. So why does the resurrection matter? I mean, the guy came out of the ground, he resurrected from the grave. So why? Why does it matter? What's the implication of it? To be sure. Well, first, the Apostle Paul said, if the resurrection isn't true, then our hope is empty or in vain. It means nothing. But conversely, because it's true, there are some realities that are profound in your life. First is found in John 11:25. Jesus says that I am the resurrection and the life. He ties together two ideas, life, you know, life, love, you know, having a happiness and meaning and being able to live to the fullest, that idea of life. And he ties it to the resurrection. So here's what Jesus says. Because I am the resurrection, I can give life. So if you're sitting here right now and your life isn't what you want it to be, maybe it's not horrible, but you're sitting there going, I could be better. I want to challenge you to consider. Ryan's going to talk to you in just a minute. I want you to consider giving your heart and life to Jesus Christ, because when that resurrection life becomes your life, you begin to live at a level you've never lived before. The sun's going to shine brighter. The water's going to be prettier. I mean, the birds are going to sing better. It doesn't mean everything's going to be perfect, but it does mean that the Holy Spirit inside of you, man, is going to make everything so different. Well, second reason why it matters is because in Philippians 3:10, Jesus said that, Paul said that I want to know the Lord and the power of his resurrection. Now, here's what all of us know in here today. There's a bunch of us here. A bunch of first service, a bunch of this service, second service, whichever service you're watching this. A lot of people around you. And everyone has this in common. At some point in their life, they needed the power of God to intervene in their life and to change their life. We face things that are bigger than us. I'm not with you today because I had heart surgery. Wasn't looking forward to that. That wasn't on the calendar. Didn't plan it out a few years ago. I needed the power of God to move in my life. And I tell you, he did. And it's been amazing. So sitting here today, if you look at your life and be honest now, take a minute and really assess your life. I bet you would say, there are some areas I really need the power of God to move in. I bet you'd say that. I bet you would say, I really need to see the supernatural power of God move in some shape or form in this area of my life to make things better. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's work. Maybe it's your health. But I promise you, because of the resurrection, you can have that kind of power. That kind of power that can change and transform any circumstance or situation. Now, the last reason I'm going to share with you is why. It's found in 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning verse 3. I'm going to read it to you. It says, now blessed be the God, the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. According to the great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope. How have we been born again to a living hope? How do we know that when this life is over, we're going to heaven? Look at this. Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven for you who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Now think about this. Because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, if death knocks on your door, you wake up in heaven. Because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, I could die. Hey, you may be watching this and I croaked during that operation. I don't know. But if so, I opened my eyes in heaven. I really did. Not because of me, but because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. I tell you this, my friends, if you've ever trusted anything I've ever encouraged you to think about this. Do you need a life bigger than you have? Do you need power to make it through day by day? Do you want to know without a doubt that heaven is your home when this thing's over? Well, if you do, Ryan's going to take over, and he's going to tell you exactly how you can come into a personal, one-on-one, living, powerful, transformational, eternal relationship with Jesus Christ. I love you. Take it away, Ryan.
Sure will, Terry. We filmed that a couple of weeks ago, and I'm thankful that part of that is not true, that I'm thankful that he didn't wake up in heaven, and that he is still here with us, and we love him, and we are so thankful to have him. So we are glad that you guys could hear this morning. If you have your Bibles, we're going to look in Romans. We're going to look at several different passages in Romans about the most important message in all of the world and in all of history. And that is the gospel, the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, which is why we celebrate today. Pastor Terry laid it out real simple and real honestly for us, that we love you here at Grace, and we want you to have heaven to be your home, to understand that this is not home. These trials and these tribulations and even the joys and the excitement that you have this side of eternity isn't home, that heaven can be your eternal place, where you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God is with you. And so how? How can you know that? It's really easy. The first step is to admit that you're a sinner. Now, just like most 12-step programs, the first step in recovery is what? To admit there's a problem. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't like to admit that there's problems. I don't like to admit that I might be broken. I don't like to admit that I might be wrong. In fact, just so that you know, I've never been wrong. I've been mistaken once or twice, but never been wrong on anything. Don't ask my wife and kids, okay? But we don't like to admit it, do we? I mean, we want people to like us. We want to put on this front that everything is okay and that I don't need help. And when we admit that we're broken, or we admit that we're a sinner, or we admit that something is wrong, then we realize we're not perfect. And we realize that we have need for something. Romans chapter 3, verse 23 says this, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." We are all sinners. Pastor Terry, myself, Billy Graham, your grandmother. I know as much as what you think. I just burst a bubble there. I'm sorry. Your grandma's a sinner. The Pope is a sinner. Because of this truth, we all deserve death. Both physical and spiritual death. Romans 6:23 says this, "For the wages of sin is death." Thank goodness it didn't stop there. A three-letter word jumps in and it says, "But." Anytime I see that phrase, I love it. You ready? "But the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." But the free gift. God is extending to you and I a gift. That man, when we do something wrong, when we first begin to admit that I am not perfect and I am in need of a Savior, I mean, none of us like to admit that. But because of that, there's a punishment. I remember as a kid in high school, my mom went through this phase where our house was decorated country, which was kind of weird because we weren't really country people, but we lived in the country. I grew up in Orlando, but then my parents moved to Fayetteville, Georgia, where like we owned a little over an acre. I mean, we were in the sticks. There was one traffic light in Fayetteville, Georgia at the time, and I hated my dad for like 6 months moving me there because he moved me away from everything. But my mom, everything in the house was this country blue thing, and so my mom had this picture that was on the wall, and I don't even remember what it said, but it was like a piece of tile with painting on it, and they had glued this ceramic duck or goose or something to it, okay? Well, our house was a two-story house, and as you came in the entryway, there was this nice wood floor and a balcony overlooking the upstairs, and so as any kid would do, you get those Super Balls from the grocery store, And you begin to think, let's see if we can throw these things off the balcony, onto the hardwood floor, back up to us to catch. And we're like, yeah, this is kind of cool. Me and my friend's doing it. It's great. Then we decide, let's see if we can bounce it to hit the ceiling on the second floor. Why are you oh-knowing? As if there's something bad about to happen, okay? It's because there was. Because I was involved, because again, I'm broken and not right. So I throw this ball, I mean, as hard as I can throw it. It went sideways, bounced around a couple of walls, hits the picture, and off falls the goose or the duck. Can't remember what it was, but it fell. Thank goodness it didn't crack or break. I mean, it just like literally fell off the picture. Well, I begin to panic because mom and dad aren't home. And so I'm running through the house trying to find something to glue this thing back on with. Now, the only thing I found was this nice gold bottle of Kraft glue. Okay, those of you who are crafters know that there should be a warning label on there that says takes 3 years to dry. Okay, I didn't know that. I like slathered this thing up on the backside. I like stuck it to the tile and I laid it on the kitchen counter because I knew if I put it back up on the wall without it drying, it would just fall off. So I left it on the counter. A couple hours later, mom and dad come home and I realize I had forgotten to put the picture back on the wall. So I quickly, while mom is being distracted, which, by the way, she's online watching today. She knows the story. It's not like I'm coming out, okay? I put the picture back on the wall, and we're all sitting together in the living room, just watching TV, hanging out, doing whatever. All of a sudden, you hear this thud. And I'm just like, I don't know what that was. My mom's like, what was that? I don't know. She gets up to investigate and finds said duck on floor with nice glue still on the back that's sticky tacky, not dried yet. Again, please put a disclaimer on your craft glue, okay? To which she then says, what happened? Again, I don't know. Mom, I have no idea. It's a miracle. Like, the duck just wanted to be set free. I don't know. He didn't like it on the wall. She's like, where'd the glue come from? Not sure. I mean, I got into some trouble for that, number one, because I was lying. Number two, because I was leading my sister astray. I was like, man, the joys of being an older brother, right? But we've all done things wrong, and because of that wrongness, there are consequences. Listen, there's consequences to our sin, and our sin is death. But praise God, he doesn't stop there. Praise God, he doesn't leave us dead in our sin. But because of the resurrection of the Christ, because of Resurrection Sunday, we can have hope and we can have life because the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And it doesn't mean that this side of heaven is going to be perfect and great and wonderful, but it means that my eternal place is reserved, that my home is taken care of. Ephesians 2:8-9 says this, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. Human nature says this, I can fix anything, even if it is craft glue that takes 3 years to dry. I can fix it. I can make, but guess what? It's still broken. It's still not right. I know many times in my life, I've tried to just make things better. Well, I can just be better. I can just do better. Salvation is not dependent upon us. It is not about what you and I can do to make things right. It's not a ledger sheet or a balance sheet where we hope that the good outweighs the bad. It's not a scale where God's going, hey, did you do enough good to outweigh the bad things that are in your life? You and I can never outdo the bad. Because why? We are dead in our sin. You realize that? Dead. Dead people tell no tales. I love the pirate in me, you know? I mean, dead men tell no... Dead men can't do anything. We can't save ourselves. And it is only through Jesus Christ. It is not even about being better than the person sitting next to you or the neighbor across the street or your arch nemesis from high school. It's not about being better than them. It all depends upon Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 5, verse 8 says this, but God, We are dead in our sins, but God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Wow. Take that in for a second. Have you ever had an enemy? Have you ever had somebody that you just couldn't get along with no matter what? They might have been a cousin. Might have been a brother or sister. Could have been a relative. Could have been somebody in the high school. Like, you guys always butted heads. Listen, while you and I were in that state with God, while we were still enemies with him because of our sin, he sent his son to die for us. In our place, because he loves us, God died for us while we were still enemies of him. Listen, Jesus didn't live to establish a new religion. He died to reconnect an old relationship between you and I. Jesus died to have a relationship with the Creator and the creation. He didn't die to establish a world religion that would dominate everything and would set history right. No, he died so that we could have a relationship with him. The power of Easter is in the resurrection of Christ. For, as Pastor Terry said, through the resurrection, we have life. And according to Jesus in John 10, we might have it more abundantly. So the first thing is this. Admit that you and I are broken, in need of a Savior, in need of somebody who is better than us. And then we need to believe that Jesus is the resurrected Son of God. He's not in the tomb. There is no body to be found. There are no bones that we can excavate. Praise God for that. I mean, you're like, but wait a minute. What if the disciples stole the body? What if somebody who was close to Jesus? Listen, it was sealed with a seal of the magistrate of Pilate, and there were guards posted so that nobody would do that. And on Easter Sunday morning, the earth shook and the ground rolled away and Jesus walked out. There is no body. There are no bones. What you believe about Jesus will determine how you behave in this life. Romans 10, 9 and 10 lays it out very simple. I love the way Paul writes it. He says this, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. What you believe determines your behavior. Believe that Jesus is who he says he is, and that without him, you and I are hopeless. We must believe. I implore you to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Admit that you and I are in need of a Savior. Believe that Jesus is that Savior. But then the third thing is to confess him as Lord. Paul wrote again and he says this, belief leads to justification, but confession of the mouth is the big part. Confess that Jesus is Lord. Now, we have a hard concept of that idea, Lord. Because, I mean, we don't live in a feudal system. We don't have lords and serfs and all this, right? I mean, Lord, what does that mean? It's a boss. Anybody here have a boss? Anybody here have multiple bosses? Anybody here married? Okay, good. You have multiple bosses, okay? I should have seen every guy's hand up at that point in time, okay? Because I've learned, we have a couple in our first service. They've been married 60 years. And I said, listen, you got to tell me the secret. He said, it's real easy. Yes, dear. Some of you this morning are going, wow, Pastor Ryan, you look so nice today. Let me tell you how that worked. Yes, dear. The girls went Easter shopping. They bought a new tie. They said, you need to wear your khakis, your blue shirt, and here's your tie. Yes, dear. It works out. Why? Because we understand this idea of a boss. We understand that we have to report to somebody, that somebody is in authority over us. Listen, we've got to confess that Jesus is our boss. Pastor Terry has said this multiple times. He loves bumper stickers, but the one that drives him the nuts the most is the one that says, Jesus is my co-pilot. Because Jesus can't be your co-pilot. He must be the pilot of your life. He must be the one who's directing you. He must be the one that says, hey, go here, go there, say this, meet with these people. Jesus must be in charge. But I know for us, we sometimes look at him and go, ah, I got this. You've been really busy, Lord. You've done a lot of things. I know you've got to be tired. So you just take a seat on this one. I can handle driving from here. It's like having a learner's permit, right? I mean, I've got a nice chaperone in Hannah right now. She's getting ready to take her permit. She drives me everywhere. It's kind of nice. But listen, I've realized in my life, I'm a control freak. I have a hard time sitting in the passenger seat while somebody else is driving. Don't care if it's Hannah who's 15, Abby who's 18, Jen who's, you know, been driving for a while. You thought I was going there, didn't you? You thought he's about to die today. I'm not doing that, okay? Listen, she's been driving longer than the girls have. I have a hard time. Why? Because I've got control issues. You've got control issues. Admit it. I like to be the one in control of my life. Saying that Jesus is the boss is hard because what does that do? It puts us in the passenger seat. And it puts him in control. Puts him as the person who is doing it all. Confession. If belief determines our behavior, confession must lead to change because change gives meaning to our confession. A life that has been changed from the inside out. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians, and he says this, that you are a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. Wow. From the inside out, we have been changed. Romans 10:13 says, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Let me tell you, one of the beautiful things of the gospel is this. You don't have to get yourself right and then come to Jesus. You don't have to become perfect. You don't have to go out and get your Sunday clothes and then come to church. You don't have to get everything together. You don't have to stop. You just got to come to Jesus and kneel in submission to him and say, I need you to be my boss. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Nobody is too far gone. Peter writes and he tells us this, that the will of God, the heartbeat of God, is that everyone comes to a saving knowledge of who he is. Everyone comes into a relationship with Jesus. That is the heartbeat of God. He wants you. Did you hear me? God wants you. For some of you, you've never felt wanted before in your life. You felt rejected. You have felt that you've actually had people tell you, I don't want you. I don't love you. Listen, I was the king of that in high school. I was stuck in the friend zone all my life. Like, I'm the guy who invented in elementary school the little notes that says, do you like me? Check one, yes or no. I had the maybe box, and it was bigger than everything because I understood marketing, that would draw their attention. Why? Because, man, I just wanted to be wanted. God wants you this morning. He wants to have a relationship with you because he loves you dearly, passionately, and he loves you to death. You're wanted this morning. The essence of the gospel is not that we choose God, but that God chose us. And he wants to be in a relationship with us. He wants a relationship with you and me. Jesus laid down his life to reconnect with us. The most important message in all of the world can't be said in 140 characters. It can't be tweeted. It can't be, it is simply this. You ready? Jesus loves you. Simple. Billy Graham has preached many sermons, hundreds of thousands of sermons all over the place. You know what his one message has been in all of those? God loves you and wants a relationship with you. This morning, do you believe that? Pastor Terry has said this multiple times, and so I love it. He says this, God doesn't want to pay you back. He wants to get you back. God doesn't care what you did last night, which some of you I know were at the concert in Gainesville. Many of you were there, and man, a great concert. I'm glad you were there, but I'm glad you're here too. Because God loves you, and He wants you. And He wants to have an intimate, personal love relationship with you. Would you pray with me this morning? Maybe you're here this morning, and this is maybe the first time you've ever heard this message. But God's tugging at your heart. You're like, what do you mean tugging at my heart? Maybe your heart's racing. Maybe your palms are sweating. Maybe you just know deep down inside, I've got to give God control. I've been living life my own way. I've been doing my own thing, and it's not going real well. This morning, would you turn control of your life over to God? Would you say, Lord, I need you? If that's you this morning, I just want to lead you in a real simple prayer. Just repeat this in your heart after me. Dear Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner, and I need you. I want you. I've messed up in my life, and if I continue to try to live on my own, I'm just going to mess up more. So God, I turn control over to you. I believe that you are the resurrected Son of God. And this morning I confess you to be my boss. If you prayed a prayer, something like that this morning, nobody's looking around, it's just you, me, and God. We don't want to embarrass you here at Grace. We're not going to ask you to walk down an aisle, but I do want to pray with you. If you prayed that prayer and meant it for the first time this morning, would you simply just put your hand up and put it right back down where you are? I just want to pray for you. Amen. Amen. Anybody else? Most important decision you could ever make is where you'll spend eternity. Praise God. I'm going to be down front at the end of the service. If you want to come and talk, I'd love to talk with you, because we want to walk that journey with you to help you take those next steps. Maybe you're here this morning and you've prayed that prayer before, and you're like, I know Jesus is my Savior, but maybe He hasn't been your pilot. And this morning He's convicting you of that, and you've got to reset your priorities a little bit. Would you just ask God to forgive you? And would you say, Lord, here's control. Here's the steering wheel. Lord Jesus, we thank you. Thank you for this morning. Thank you for our time together. But most importantly, thank you for an empty tomb. Thank you that because of through you, we can have life and have it more abundantly. Thank you, God, that you are an awesome, loving God who cares about us, who desires us, and who wants us. Lord, thank you for these individuals this morning who gave you control of their life for the first time. God, would you bless them? Would you help us as a church to walk alongside them, to take these next steps and to grow in a relationship with you? Lord Jesus, we love you. We thank you. For it's in your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you again for being here this morning. I'm going to ask our ushers if they would come at this time. This is the time of our service where we take up our tithes and offerings. If you're a first-time guest with us, remember the only thing we ask of you is this little tiny tear-off sheet. You can take that and actually, it's perforated. You can actually fill it out and tear it off, and you can put it into the offering plate. If you do this, and if the plate passes and you didn't get a chance to finish completing this, you can also put it in the gray boxes that we have at each of our doors. It's the other way we take up the offering here at Grace. But if you're not a partner with us, we don't expect you to put money in the plate, okay? If you're a visitor, this is the only thing we ask of you, is that you just fill this card out and let us know how we can pray for you, how we can continue to support you and walk life with you. We would love that. We give here at Grace for three reasons. One, because Jesus is the most important person in all of history. Two, because the gospel is the most important message. And three, because Jesus said this, that where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So we want you to grow in that relationship with Christ and grow in your relationship with God. So we want to give you that opportunity to cheerfully give this morning. So thank you. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, thank you for this time. Lord, thank you for the offering, God. We ask that you would bless it, Lord, to further your kingdom, not this church and not our agenda, but God, your agenda. Lord, may it further the gospel to Palatka and to Putnam County, God, and to around the world. Thank you, God, that we get to be a part of your plan. Lord, we thank you. We ask all of this in your name and for your glory's sake. Amen.
As they're collecting the offering, we have a few announcements for you. And just if you didn't get one of these, ask somebody next to you if you can see theirs if you missed anything. But we are really fortunate to have a lot of teenagers in our congregation, and many of them are going to be going to youth camp this summer. And to help defray the cost for that, there's a fundraiser on Friday evening. And the way you help out with that is by going shopping, which is not a bad thing. They're going to be bagging groceries at Hitchcock's in East Palatka and accepting tips. And so that's going to help out quite a bit. Also, parents of those that are going to camp, they're going to be meeting next Sunday after the 10:30 service in the chapel to make plans for that. Also, if you are a graduating senior or in your family you have a graduating senior, talk to Pastor Ryan or send the information into the office so that we can honor them as we get a little bit closer to graduation. Also, next Saturday night, Hope FM is borrowing Grace for a ladies' event, and we're bringing in a comedian, and we're going to have some shopping and just a lot of fun on Saturday evening. It starts at 6:30, and I'd like to know if I can have a few ladies that would be willing to come a little early and help us set up and stay a little bit late and help us put everything back so that it's ready for Sunday morning. It's going to be a really fun evening. That's going to be next Saturday night. And so if you're interested in coming, please show up. Or if you want to talk to me about when to come and help, that would be great too. Also, 2 weeks from today, we have the opportunity to help out with a meal for the Palatka High School Musical Theater Department. They've got probably 60 kids and folks helping with their next production. It's a big deal. And so they've asked some of the local churches to help with a meal for those folks. And we're doing that 2 weeks from today. And so if you would like to help out with that, let me know. There's going to be some cooking, but lots of stuff to just get. So if you don't want to shop and you just want to give a few dollars towards it, see me after the service and I'll help to coordinate that. Otherwise, come back next Sunday. We'd love to see you. Also, Wednesday afternoon and evening, we have tremendous services. We've got support groups that meet here. We have a card-making ministry class. We have Bible study for the adults, activities for all the kids. And so Wednesday afternoon and evening, this is the place to be. I hope that you'll come and join us. And appreciate you being here today, Pastor Ryan.
Denise has something, too, that she wants to
share. Oh, yeah, I was going to talk about that. I forgot. Yeah. Okay.
Come on up, Denise.
Okay, guys, I know y'all hear from me all the time, but this is God talking today, not Denise. The annual garage sale, third annual garage sale, is next weekend. And my struggle is real, because last year I said, I'm not doing it again. Somebody came forward, and she was going to chair it, bring her friends, help sort, do. So for 3 months we've been collecting, and her husband's been in and out of the hospital for the last 2 months, so she hasn't helped. So, last year we made $4,400, and I know y'all say, wow, that's a lot, but technically it bought about 5 to 6 weeks worth of food out of 36 weeks out of the year that we provide food. Robin over at Hope FM, they send food home every week to Mellon, so she's a testimony and a witness of how much food we're sending home pretty much every week, every 2 weeks as we sort out of my warehouse. But the struggle I have today is I do not have enough helpers. Next Thursday, in front of my work, in front of the gas station, is set up. We're going to set up. I'm going to do something a little different. At 4 o'clock, I could use some help, even if it's just for if you came for 30 minutes, some guys, some if you got grandsons or a teenager, that could help with the tables and the plywood, because that's the big thing. Most of the people that are helping me are my age and older, and we're old. So we could use a little bit of strong help. I'm hoping we'll have everything pulled out and set up within, 2 hours. We open back up at 8 o'clock on Friday, so I could use some help on Friday morning if you want to just come in and work a couple hours, just helping wait on people. We're really, really busy. It sounds like it's not a big deal, but it really is. It's our only fundraiser that Feed the Need does, and we provide food 36 weeks out of the school year. But anyways, thank you. I've been praying about it, and I know God will provide. Thank y'all.
Amen. Yes, help out, and then go shopping on Friday and Saturday. One more thing, card class is canceled for this week.
Awesome. No edge. Yeah, there's no edge tonight because it's Easter Sunday, so college students, don't come to my house looking for free food, okay? No hanging out. I mean, I'm going to be sleeping. No. Thank you guys so much for coming and being here. Let's just try this real quick because the church has done this for years. You ready? He is risen. Okay, that was close. You ready? Let's try it again. You ready? He is risen. He's risen indeed. Amen. Would you stand, and we're going to close our service in prayer this morning. Lord Jesus, thank you for such an amazing day. Thank you, God, that you rose from the dead. Thank you that you have come into our lives. God, you have moved in and taken up space. And Lord, we thank you that you are in control. So this morning, God, as we go out, as we go to eat in different places around our community, as we interact with people today, God, we pray that you would help us to take your gospel message to them. And Lord, when necessary, to use words. Lord, we love you and we thank you, for it's in your name we pray. Amen and amen. My shame.